Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders who share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun, from elite runners to weekend warriors. Find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe to The Rundown. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
I started getting more into like that culture of like, I think in LA it's like more socially acceptable or like encouraged to be healthy and like wellness and all that. So I was like, oh, this is really interesting and I feel good. And like I was always into healthy eating and stuff, but I think as like a lifestyle, that's when it changed. And then I guess one thing leads to another, you know, once you start running. And then I think in the last year I've kind of been on a more like spiritual journey, so that also shifted a lot. And but without the running, it wouldn't have led to all these other things.
On this episode of The Rundown, we'll chat with the smart, talented, and witty Sabrina Cassis. From runner to entrepreneur, she'll speak to us about her spiritual journey and how running has balanced her life. We'll touch on her personal development and how it has led her down a path of passion, health, and wellness. This episode is brought to you by WRG Run Club. If you're looking for a friendly, fun, and positive run club to join, this group's for you. They meet every Monday at 7 p.m. on the base of Mount Royal. Some run fast, some run slow. Who you'll meet, you never know. Keep track and visit their website at iamarunner.ca and be sure to follow them on Instagram for more details at WRG Runs. See you out there. I'm just going to run through the news quickly. A couple weeks ago at the Berlin Marathon, it was actually September 16th, 2018. The world record was broken by Eliud Kipchoge. He did about 2 hours. Well, he did exactly 2 hours, 1 minute, 39 seconds and crushed the previous world record by a minute 20. You might recognize the name because he was on the documentary Breaking 2, where he ran 2 hours and 25 seconds, which is absolutely crazy. I have a friend who also ran the Berlin Marathon and ran quite well, Ariane Rabi. She's an elite runner in Quebec. She ran her personal best 2 hours, 39 minutes, and 37 seconds. Came 21st overall amongst females, which is super proud of her, and is quite a performance on her part as well. And she'll actually be the guest speaker at our next Run to Beer event, which is in a week from today on October 10th, which is a Wednesday. So we're going to, as usual, the last two events have been really, really great. Good turnout from everybody. We're going to go for a run, come back for a beer, and then we're going to have her as a guest speaker. So she'll be speaking to us about training tips and how her journey was the last year since her last marathon, and how the journey from coming back from injury has been. So can't wait for that, and we hope to see you there. And that's it for the news. Thanks. Well, Sabrina, welcome to The Rundown. Happy
Thank
to have you,
you
here.
I'm excited.
Yeah. How was your commute in today?
Good. It was raining, but it was all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was bound to rain. I think the weather's been like really, really good lately. So
I know.
Yeah. So, and I just wanted to have you in today. I think we met probably a few times, but never actually formally met. Maybe like a few events, like the classic,
yeah,
the hockey
maybe
tournament.
Through Run Club though.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, like maybe this year more recently. I think you came with your sister once and got to talking to see what kind of what you were about and stuff like that. So I'm always curious to see how when I see somebody new to me anyways at Run Club, like, you know, do they run all the time? Like, are they always going to be at this run club? Like, is it a one-off? Like, how much should I invest
in getting to know them? Yeah.
In this conversation of the mountains. So, was that your first one? Or
no, I actually joined the WRG Run Club about a few years ago. I think two, three years ago. And I think I started running in the spring. So it was just kind of like cold and gloomy when I started. But I really liked it and I continued. So I was like pretty serious about it for up until this summer, I think. And now I run mostly on my own, like on the canal. But I was really into the run club at the mountain back then.
Back in the day.
And the winters, I think that's what was a game changer for me.
You like the winter running?
Yeah, well, I was surprised that I did because it was so intense and so cold. But it actually made me enjoy Montreal winters a lot more and be less depressed. And actually getting outside kind of changes the way you feel about winter, I would say, because you actually are in nature and not just like cooped up inside, so
you can actually see what's going on out there,
and you actually feel like you're like living because you're outdoors doing something,
you're not just like sheltered in your house and like, waiting for the summer to come,
kind of. And I find like the workout is so good.
Oh yeah,
honestly, like I found my like strength and endurance was really increased because of the winter, and like in the summer it was kind of easier after that. So
well, if you started in the winter,
yeah,
you started with definitely the harder part of the training.
Yeah,
give you a lot of like mental focus and stuff like that. Yeah, too.
Exactly. And you feel like kind of cool. You're like, oh, I did this, like I can do anything, you know. I run in the winter, it's like -25.
Like I'm one of those nuts.
Yeah, right, you always like, it's always the people you kind of made fun of. You're like, who are these crazy people that do that? And then when you become one, you're like, okay, I see it. I see the benefits here.
No judgment. Yeah. No judgment there. And like, did you run before that, or was it like?
No, I kind of, actually when I was younger, I hated running. Like my brother tried to get me to do it. I mean, I was always active and doing sports and stuff, but running, I was just like, ugh, this is not fun. And I actually joined like, when I was in LA for like a month, like 2 years ago, I would say, I started going a lot like to Runyon Canyon Trail, the trail there, and like started running there as part of like a group, and that kind of got me into it. I was like,
where's
this
that?
Is fun. It's in LA.
Okay.
So, but I was smoking back then.
What age was this?
This is like, I think I quit smoking like 2 years ago. So okay. I was a smoker, and then I started running and I got sick. In LA, so for a week I didn't smoke, and then I was running still, and I was like, wow, this is so much easier when I don't have cigarettes. So then I quit, actually. So running got me to quit smoking. I was like, this sucks. I want to be able to run better, and I actually enjoyed it more, so I never looked back, and I'm like super healthy now, but back then I was, I don't know.
Like kind of by accident, almost.
Yeah.
In a sense, like you got sick, you're smoking, you stopped smoking for a bit.
Yeah. I mean, no, I always wanted to quit by the time I was 30. So I was like, okay, this is perfect timing. Like, I'm just going to go for it.
Okay, nice. You're giving away your age, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not worried about that.
I'm 33, so it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all about how you feel, right?
Yeah.
At absolutely. The end of it. So now, how long have you been running for? It's been...
So I guess, like, consistently and seriously, like, more like, well, seriously, like, probably two years now then, 2.5.
Okay. And you do it, like, regularly? Like, what are the...
Yeah, now I probably run like, I would say 3 to 5 times a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what's the drive? Like it's not winter now, so it's not your favorite time to run.
I mean, it's, I guess it's sort of my form of meditation. I'm like, I don't know. It gets me to think differently and like relax. Like if I don't run, I feel it. And like mentally, you know, obviously physically there's all the benefits that, you know, everyone knows about, like it makes you feel great, like my body changed too, like I feel like the way that I relate to food has changed and everything, but for me it's really mentally, it's like so necessary, like I have to run, you know, I'm kind of like addicted to it now in that sense, just because it makes me feel so much better and I can focus better and just feel better and more relaxed,
like day to day.
Yeah. And even if I do sometimes I run without music, and that's the best time to kind of even like brainstorm or get like ideas and for my business and stuff, like I'll get like inspiration when I'm like running for long periods of time. That's when I'm like, you know, thinking my best, I would say.
Yeah it's like it's just like a moment of clarity almost. Yeah. Right. It's quiet. It's your only you in your own head kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to not like be on Instagram or like answering emails or anything like that.
Do you take your phone with you in your
run? So I always take my phone because I like to track my runs and my speed and stuff. Mm-hmm.
We have to get you a watch.
Yeah. I don't know. That's too advanced for me. but, and I do listen to podcasts now. I started, just running and listening to podcasts, which because of one of the podcasts, I started doing that because they said that actually when you do physical activity and listen to information, you absorb it better actually when you're moving. So I was like, oh, that'll help with my memory. It was actually a memory podcast that I was listening to.
That makes a lot of sense.
And I was like, cool, I'll like absorb this information better. So yeah, I started doing that.
So we should probably be running right now then.
Yeah.
we're ending this podcast at the moment. We're leaving. So what were the other, you were saying like it gave you, it kind of opened up the gateways to other parts of wellness and in your well-being and in the nutrition side of stuff.
For like, sure.
Is there anything like really noticeable that?
Yeah, I think like for me, I guess like a lot of women kind of have an interesting relationship to food. I wouldn't call it eating disorders, but like disordered eating or like food obsessions or like eating the right stuff and like weight and body image and all that is something that I guess we deal with a lot. And it's something that I've always had like a weird, I guess, relationship to, or like awareness, like constantly being like, is this healthy? Is this good? Will this make me fat? Should I eat this? When should I eat this? Like, do I eat bread or not eat bread? You know, like there's all these fad diets and all these things that affect us. And I think running really helped in the sense that I started thinking about eating it more as like fuel and like, will this make me feel good? And like, if I knew I was running, I would eat more and like feel better about it and just stop like obsessing about like, oh, I can't eat this or I can eat that. Like I would eat bread and be like, cause you know, before I was like, oh, I have to do the like Atkins or do the like whatever, like keto or whatever, all these things that are
so
like,
many.
Like gluten free or like all this stuff. And then now I'm like, okay, what feels good? Like I actually like, I'm more intuitive with the way that I eat. And I'm like, okay, I need to have energy. So when I eat bread or when I eat a sandwich or when I eat like carbs or like, I'm not afraid of eating those things because I know they're going to make me feel good if they're like, obviously like healthy and stuff. But like I won't eat junk food, but I'll eat those things that were off limits maybe before because I was like, I don't want to get fat or I don't want, you know. And it just makes like now it's, yeah, it's really just intuitive and just like nourishing my body and enjoying the things that I'm eating, because I enjoy, like, to enjoy running you have to feel good, right? And like I think if you're depriving yourself, you're not going to be able to run. Yeah. Or you're not going to be able to do these things that you want to do so yeah, definitely.
It's weird how that works, eh? Like,
yeah,
when you think about it, so you're eating things that are good for you because you're not, because you're running, but because you know you need it to run for energy.
Yeah.
But without, and forget running, like any kind of physical activity, mm-hmm. like if you, like you need those nutrients no matter what, you know. But it's like, I don't know. I find it like a strange thing. Like, oh, I'm gonna cut bread or something if for weight loss. But then if you throw in some like exercise, then all of a sudden bread becomes okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just a mental thing too. You just you hear all these things and you sort of say, hey, should I cut this out? Should I cut that out? Because like even sugar, like I don't eat any processed food or anything like that. But you know, I'd be like, oh, I can't even have like maple syrup, or I have to cut down on fruit because there's too much sugar in it. You know, which is crazy. Like I obviously don't do that anymore. But at one point it was like, you know, I would feel guilty about eating certain like healthy foods. And now I'm like, no, this is good for me. Like, I don't care about how I look. Like also my body image has changed because now I'm like, oh, I just want to be stronger. And I know that I'm going to look however I'm going to look based on, it comes from a good place, like from a place where I'm healthy. So it's not just about the way I look, you know? So I think running really definitely is like a huge game changer for my relationship to food and my body, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like overall more like well-being, balance, it just balances you out, you know. I think and having to think about all the different things, all these different diets, like
well that's it, it's like the mind body connection, right? Like if your body feels good, if your mind feels good, like all these things are related. So I think running brings it all in. And when you're active and when you're taking care of yourself, like everything else follows, you know, you don't have to think about them as much.
And like, has that, so has running and the wellness and the food and all that stuff, has that bringing you into anything, any other sorts of like wellness activities, or like, is it like yoga, or is it, I know you, well, actually,
I know, you know,
you said you,
I know, you I'm like, I can never get into yoga. Like, I did hot yoga for like 3 months once, and I was like, okay, I'm going to try this, get into it. But yeah, honestly, it's just, I'm very like active, and like I have like high energy, I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. So I like things that are I should do yoga, and I should do more stretching and stuff like that, but I just feel like I'm just gonna do what I like, and what I like is more like, I like sports, like activities, like more like, you know, like volleyball last weekend was awesome. Oh, like doing like,
don't remind me.
Sorry. But yeah, doing more high intensity activities, and I do other stuff. Like, I mean, the only thing that I do actually that is a little bit more low-key, it's still harder, but it's called Eccentrics. I don't know if you know Meg. She's an Eccentrics instructor, and it's this woman who invented it. She used to be a ballerina, I think, and she kind of created her own workout, which is a mix of like ballet, tai chi, like Pilates, yoga, and it basically uses your own body to, as it's, you create resistance with your own body, like you don't use weights, elastics, or anything like that. So it is really toning, and you do get like a good workout, but it's like really like not intense on your like joints or anything like that. So it's like low intensity in that way, but the results are crazy. Like it works really quickly, and she's like the most fit. She's like super cut and ripped, and she doesn't do weights, she doesn't do push-ups, she doesn't do anything. It's just really like her body. So I got into that recently, and I love it.
Where do they do that?
There's a school downtown. It's on Stanley, like okay, the main place, but I think they do it at different gyms in the city and stuff. Okay. Yeah, it's really fun.
I gotta try this out.
Yeah, you should come. It's really cool.
Is it like once a week kind of thing?
I go like once a week, but there's also like videos online that I do at home, which I like. I'm like really big.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, it's older women who do it, I think, because it's like, it is... but she'll show her like athlete friends, and they'll be like, "What? This is amazing!" You know, because it really does work, and it's cool because you do get the stretches in and all that stuff, but in a way that's, I think, more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like she just teaches like super ripped old people.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Pretty much.
Is that what it is?
Well, I mean, they're very like toned, and it's very like elegant. Also, like it stretches and lengthens
like a Pilates. Your muscles.
Yeah. So it's like good for your posture, and it like makes you seem taller and stuff. So, yeah, it's really cool.
Amazing. So cool. So now, like, how does that translate to, like, you're saying, like, your business and
oh my gosh,
this kind of stuff? So yeah. Do you see, like, a direct link? Like,
absolutely. With that? I mean, my business is directly linked to, I think, because it's my own business, and I'm, like, I guess the face of it as well. It's, like, everything I do personally is so, like, gets infused in everything I do in my business, from, like the content that I create to like the way that I relate to like the people that follow me on Instagram and stuff, and everything that I put out there. But it's definitely helps me with like a routine and like to be more productive and more focused, but also just in terms of wellness. Like my whole business is kind of, it's a online lingerie store, and it's really styles and product and content that is for women to and women have to feel good about themselves, right, to be able to kind of enjoy lingerie, and the whole angle is like it's for women, for themselves, and not just for like the men that are going to enjoy it afterwards, because lingerie has long, you know, it's been marketed towards men for the longest time with like Victoria's Secrets and things like that, and like for special occasions it's like, oh, please your man and stuff, but it's, you know, like underwear is something that you wear every day, so I think a woman has to take pleasure in that, and so it is a lot about self-love, and so it's definitely related. I think like physical activity and like wellness is like directly related to like to self-love and taking care of yourself. So it's definitely something that I share a lot, and I try to like encourage people to do, or like I find it, you know, it inspires people. Like people will write to me and like, oh, about even about running, like I'll share it on my Instagram and stuff, because I know it changed my life, you know, and especially with the body image, and like, you have to feel confident and like good in what you're wearing if you're wearing lingerie and stuff, so it's all interconnected 100%.
Mm-hmm. You see it like, yeah, change your life, like that's,
yeah,
pretty powerful stuff
for,
right?
Sure.
did they go hand in hand, or like was running the thing that came first and then it made you feel a certain way and that gave you the confidence? Because I know your business started, I looked it up in like 2014,
yeah.
You founded it. So yeah. That's like 4 years ago now.
Yeah. It was different. I mean, so at the core it was always the same, but I think I started embodying it like later on, you know, like the values and stuff like that. Like I think theoretically, like intellectually, it was always about like female empowerment and like self-love and all that stuff. But I think 4 years ago, I was not at that stage, you know, like I was still, you know, like, you know, I was still like partying and like I was always doing like taking care of myself and like exercising and stuff. But there was a part of me that was like a bit, I guess, like didn't care as much and just wasn't in this mindset. So I think it's also mindset. I think when I did start running in LA and I was like around that kind of environment where people were healthier and like valued that more, you know, because people in Montreal, it's like there's like a party atmosphere, you know, and there's like smoking, drinking. It's like the pastime, you know, like there's not really, I guess in my surroundings, there wasn't really much else. So when I started getting more into like that culture of like, I think in LA, it's like more socially acceptable or like encouraged to be healthy and like wellness and all that. So I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And I feel good. And like, I was always into healthy eating and stuff. But I think as like a lifestyle, that's when it changed. And then I guess one thing leads to another, you know, once you start running. And then I think in the last year, I've kind of been on a more like spiritual journey. So that also shifted a lot. And but without the running, it wouldn't have led to all these other things, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I think that is a point in my life where I look back and I'm like, that was like a shifting, like that's where a lot shifted, you know. And then there's other moments, but that definitely was one of them. Yeah.
Like a turning point.
Yeah, for yeah. Sure.
It's crazy. Eh? You look, yeah. When you look back at stuff and
mm-hmm.
just three or four years can make,
like, oh my God. Like 2 months ago, I'm like, I wasn't the same person back then, you know, like I feel once you're in that mindset, I think it's also like mental. Like once you make that decision to like, you want to grow and get better and you start working on yourself, like in that way, the shifts happen so quickly, you know?
And anything can kind of set you in a new kind of direction.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, it's super exciting.
Can you elaborate a little bit on the spiritual side? Because you said like in the last year. I don't know, I'm interested
yeah,
in this. I'm really interested in that whole, like I feel, you know, as like a runner,
mm-hmm.
I did triathlon like last 2 years, like a connection to like nature. Like,
yeah.
When I'm training in Tremblant or in on Mount Royal, or like I feel that kind of,
for sure.
I don't know how deep that is.
No, for me, that's super deep, I think. Yeah. Like it's when you're out in nature and you're running, you actually like, oh my God, this is beautiful. Like we have access to like even the mountain. You're like, sometimes when you're alone and you look around, you're like, you get that overwhelming feeling. Like I have that connection, like that feeling of like overwhelming, like, oh my God, like this is beautiful. This is life. Like I'm alive. Mm-hmm. Like I almost start crying sometimes. I'm like, this is amazing. I love living. Yeah, no, I think that's a spiritual like moment for sure. And I think, I mean, for me, like my type of spirituality, like I'm not religious or anything, but it is very connected to nature. Like I've always been, I think I told you this, I've always been into like witchcraft and astrology, like has always been something that like attracted me, and that is very linked to nature. So I totally agree with you on that part about nature, but I guess I have a different interpretation. But so in the last year, I guess it's been a kind of more like conscious, like action oriented, I guess changing the way that I relate to myself and like and just it actually started with podcasts. That's another thing that like changed my life. I think I started listening to these podcasts that were about like spiritual psychology, and that's sort of when like just I had like a long-term pop-up that was far away, like at Rockland. So I would be driving every day, have like a long commute, and then I would listen to these podcasts every day. So they would like get into my head, you know, about like that way of thinking. And I think it was also in relationship to alcohol. Like I sort of really cut back. Like now I kind of cut it out completely. But at that point, I kind of decided like I was really going to stop drinking as much, because I found, you know, it's not like, the way that in Montreal, I feel like it's so funny, because the way that we like think about alcohol is like such a normal thing. I think overall, like it's such like a casual, like overconsumption of alcohol that we experience in general, like nightlife and that whole culture.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And it's celebrated, and like all the advertising and all this, and oh, everyone's partying all the time. And then you don't realize like how much it affects like every aspect of your life. Like the way running affects every aspect of your life, like so does alcohol. And it kind of, I kind of just started taking note, like, you know, I think like you look around and you're like, you go to the doctor and they're like, you're an alcoholic if you drink that, like more than four drinks in one sitting, and you're like, okay. And I think like this culture of like binge drinking, like you don't think that you're an alcoholic, or that's not how we like, you know, we think of an alcoholic as someone who like drinks every day and they're really sad and depressed. But I think there's like an abuse of alcohol that we just drink so much and like in such short periods of time, and then you have these crazy hangovers. So like to me, I was just like, okay, like I want to do less of that. And it took me a while to kind of realize like how excessively, like I could go like, you know, a week without drinking and it was fine, but then like, you know, we always end up going out and binge drinking, and then there's like people are offering you shots and like all this crazy stuff, and like it takes away from so many other aspects of your life, like other things you could be doing. And like, so I think that's where it started, and I was like, okay, like this needs to stop, I need to find another pastime. You know, that's not bad for me. Yeah. And like, so it's like podcasts, like reading, I've been doing a lot of that, and like running a lot. That's when I started running like 5 times a week. And so I guess that's where it started. And then in the year, it's been really just also about like how I talk to myself and like how I relate to myself. That's been like a huge thing. And then like journaling and all these things. So, and then also putting myself in like uncomfortable situations. I think I've told you a bit about that. Just situations that are very much outside my comfort zone. I think that's been, like, I guess the same way you push yourself in running, if it's kind of like pushing yourself in any other aspect of your life to be like, okay, this is something I don't necessarily feel comfortable doing, but I'm going to like step outside my comfort zone, try it. And that's when you like grow the most. Right. So I think it's been a year of like experiments like that. And then just being nice to myself, I guess, yeah. Throughout it all, you know? So I don't know if there's anything specific that
No, that's fine. Yeah. It's really just like trying to, you know, figure it out. Like I find like running's brought me so much. Mm-hmm. And if I look at like, if I look at everything that's going on in my life today, it's because I went to a run event.
Yeah.
And I met two people and they introduced me to 5 other people.
Yeah.
And like all just super inspiring. And then, you know, it's amazing just like the journey of life, you know. Mm-hmm. if that's spiritual, where one simple thing takes you, you know.
Yeah.
Like I met Leslie through running.
Yeah.
Know, through Lululemon events and stuff like that, and then I met you through them. So yeah. This is just like, it's just pretty cool how it all connects, you know.
Yeah.
And it makes you just a fuller person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know, it's just, it's like weird to see where you've come from. And I'm sure like even mm-hmm. improvements in your running and like,
oh yeah,
and you know, improvements in your business, improvements in your overall health, I think that's like really interesting.
Yeah. And you end up, when you put yourself in these situations of like positive environments, and you end up attracting people and being around people that are inspiring, you know. I think it's just a change of environment, and then one thing leads to the next for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you meet, like especially like Run Club, it's like great for social as well, you know. You end up meeting different people that come together for the same thing, but they're all from different backgrounds, and you can definitely learn from them. And yeah, that's yeah. another cool aspect.
I think, yeah, and I think too, like I always say, like I'm addictive to like good things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the bad stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so I can cut anything bad out.
Yeah.
But the good stuff I love. Like that's yeah. where I get my high, if you will. Yeah. You know, it's that like that connections with
yeah, that's incredible. Like the breath work I was telling you, how you can get like high from like natural.
Or do we want to get in
there? I don't know. It's a bit crazy. But I mean, it is really cool.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe just touch on that a little bit. And
well, okay, so like not drinking has also,
I know we spoke about
led me. Yeah, but
something to,
well,
share.
It's one of those kind of things that that resulted from not drinking and like ending up in like one thing leading to the next. Like I have to find different types of activities that to take up the time, where, you know, or like my free time where I want to do something different other than work. but I need to be a bit more creative because, like, you know, everyone wants to go to a patio in the summer and drink and have a great time, which is awesome. And like, but like, I'm like, okay, I need to find something else that's going to provide me, like, you know, with that feeling. So I randomly ended up at this breathwork workshop, which is basically, it's amazing because it's basically cyclical breathing for extended periods of time, and you get lightheaded and you have a facilitator that, so she plays music and she'll like guide you through it. And it's a room full of people and you do the cyclical breathing, and then eventually you get lightheaded fairly quickly because you're not used to breathing so deeply and like oxygenating your body in that way. For like, I mean, we breathe pretty shallow on a daily basis, so like when you're actually doing this, you're like, holy shit, this is like, this is intense.
And there's no ventilation in the room.
Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe that's why we all get high. But then you end up, it's just such a crazy release. Like a lot of people end up like screaming and like wailing and like crying because you just release all this like energy and tension. And a lot of people have like spiritual experiences, and basically what they found is that your brain releases DMT, which is like acid, what acid does. So you can actually get high and have these like psychedelic experiences just by breathing, which is really cool. And like, I had a pretty crazy experience. Like, it was my first time, so I didn't have any expectations, but it was insane. Like, I think we don't realize what our bodies are capable of, you know? You know, we use all these outside substances, and at the end of the day, it's like, oh, it's all inside us, you know, like our bodies are super powerful. And I think that's something, like running, you know, like runner's high is also like a real thing, you know, like the clarity that you get. I think that's, running really opened up that possibility for me, you know, and now I'm doing breath work and it's like a whole other level. But I think even running, you do breathing, you breathe differently, and so yeah, definitely opens doors.
Yeah. And you're like, you're definitely more conscious of your breathing when you're running.
Yeah.
Like you hear people when they're running, like, like they never breathe like that, you know?
No, for
and
sure.
They don't. And some of the questions that come from beginner runners too is like, how do I breathe?
Yeah.
It's such a hard thing
to
describe, you know, like.
That's another thing. It's like, you never really learn how to run properly. That's something like, I realized, like, maybe I should learn how to, like, am I even doing this right? You know, like, I'm doing it intuitively, but is there a way to breathe when you're running that's like actually better? I don't know.
I always say, like, as natural as possible.
Yeah.
Like, to not think about it.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, breathing comes from effort as well. Like, how, if you're sprinting, you're going to breathe differently than if you go out for like a relaxing.
Yeah.
Jog. So I don't know, there's a certain point where you just don't think about it anymore.
I know, that's the thing. I feel like if you become aware of your breath and you start thinking about breathing, you're like, how do I do this again?
And you start hyperventilating. Here's what happens, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I know in races, for example, like we talk about meditation and with running and stuff, like I zone out.
Yeah.
So there's got to be something that's happening in my body that's taking me to another planet where I don't even see or hear anything, you know?
Yeah, it's when you get into that rhythm and then you're just
like the end of a race. Like I did a marathon in April, and it was in Boston, and it was coming down the stretch, and like there's literally people everywhere, like just screaming at the top of their lungs. And like we had a group there that was cheering, and like I finished, they're like, you didn't hear us? I'm like, I didn't hear, like, you don't hear anything.
Yeah.
You just, like, all you see is the finish line.
And you don't listen to music or anything?
I had earbuds in, but it was raining so much that I had to shut them off.
Wow.
So they had no real, I mean, they don't really block out sound. But I thought it was crazy that I...
Do you usually run, like, with music or just silent?
It depends.
Yeah.
Oh, long run, if I'm doing it alone, I'll play some music. I'm not like one of these like headbangers, like I blast music in my ear, but yeah, I like it just like as a background noise, you know. It helps too, you know. I gotta try a podcast maybe.
Yeah.
Is that what you listen to when you're
now? Yeah, I started with like an audiobook, and that got me to run so much longer because I was like, I need to hear the next chapter. So I was like on a 2-hour run and I was like, this is amazing. But then I usually do podcasts that are a bit shorter.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Is there, have you done any races or?
No, I want to though, but I always end up being out of town when it's races. Mm. Like, But I'd like to do a half marathon. Like, that was, like, my goal this year, and I didn't get around to doing it, but hopefully soon.
But it just goes to show, like, you just, it doesn't have to be to race, you know? You run for fun.
Yeah.
You run for fitness.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's really for, like, mental health.
Yeah. And how long do you see a benefit in going for an hour versus half an hour?
Or I mean, I always, change? I feel like the first 5 kilometers are always, like, the hardest. And then after that, I'm like, oh, okay, I could keep going. So I always do minimum 5K. And then on average, I would say I do 7. So I like to get in, like, a good 45 minutes. I don't know if I see a benefit. I mean, I feel better when I do, like, when I at least do 7K. Like, that's when I'm like, okay, I got that in. That's, like, I'm happy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I don't really do that much more than that, like, than 10, so I can't really compare.
Yeah.
Like, I know I did, like, 15K at the one of the charity races there that Leslie organized. What is it called?
Wings for Life?
Yeah, the Wings for Life.
Okay, you did 15.
I think I did 15, and then I was like, oh, that was cool. Like, I never really go that much, but
with the car that was chasing
yeah.
us.
Yeah, so that was car. Fun, yeah, because it pushes you and, you know, I'm happy. I'm like, oh, I did 7K, like, I'm good. But that was nice. That was a nice feeling. But it was a bit painful after it. Nice. But it was good.
What podcast are you listening to right now?
Oh, I have so many. They're like, my favorite podcast is the Aubrey Marcus podcast.
Okay.
He kind of touches on, like, all kinds of things. It's like there is wellness, nutrition, fitness, but also, like, psychedelics and kind of more out there stuff. He interviews a lot of people that are just, like, the most successful people in their field, kind of. But it's not like business oriented as much, you know. It's just like getting tips from people, and that's, like, my absolute favorite. And then I have like more, like, fun podcasts, like, and then like Love Alexi. That's just like this LA girl that is more like, you know, she'll interview more like astrologers and, like, things like that, which is kind of fun. So that's just more like entertainment. And then what else do I listen to? I mean, different, like, I'll listen to, like, Sex with Emily, which is like a sex podcast, which is, like, fun sometimes. It's, like, a bit out there, but she's cool. Jim Quick, he has that's the memory kind of podcast. Okay. So those are, like, really short, yeah, and they're really good for just, like, little tricks on how to, like, boost your memory. Like, I think that's another thing about why I quit drinking, because I was like, I can't remember people's names, I can't remember things, like, I wanted to, like, improve my memory. I was, like, scared it was affecting my brain, and so I kind of got into this, like, these podcasts, and then I realized, like, it's bullshit. Like, the way that they tell you that your brain is not actually that it actually gets worse over time. Like, you have so much control over your memory and over your brain capacity, I think. So that was really encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think the non-drinking, like, has helped you?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, you notice a difference?
Oh my God. Like, that's another thing that changed my life. Like, I love being sober now. It changed, like, I guess, like, physically, like, I feel more clear-headed. I feel more, like, able to focus, working. It's like I never have hangovers. I never waste days. So I just feel better. And when I do take time off, I feel good about it. I'm like, okay, I'm not taking a day off because I'm hungover. I'm taking a day off because I need to relax and do the things that, like, bring me joy, you know? It's not like I feel like before, like, alcohol would, like, it was, like, an imposition of, like, time off from work, you know? And just being more conscious, I think, like, conscious living is incredible. I feel like people don't do it anymore, you know, like, we like turn to, like, substances to, like, relax or to do other things. Now I have to, like, turn to meditation. I have to find things for myself. And that's, like, really empowering in a way, you know, and even just the way that I relate to other people and, like, my experience in the world and how I view myself and how other people view me, even just dating is funny because it's like, it'll like, you know, when you tell a guy, like, he wants to go out for a drink, you're like, I don't drink. Like, he has to step up his game. You know? And that's been cool because it eliminates the guys that are, you know, like the...
Right. It's like, wait, you don't drink? It's,
yeah, like, and he's like, oh, okay. Like, this is going to be too complicated, so I got to get out of here, you
wow.
know? But generally, people are, like, more intrigued and they're like, oh really, why, okay, and then you end up having like a real conversation like off the bat, which is nice. And so it's definitely shifted a lot in my life. And now, I don't know, it kind of feels like this weird experiment I'm doing also, like, and like seeing how far I can go with it, you know, like how much I can learn. I don't know, I'm really into it.
That's really cool.
But it's weird because it's like, if you knew me like 5 years ago, like you would never think that I would ever do this, you know, or be this person. Like,
yeah. That's what I find like so awesome though. Yeah. It's like, it's cool to hear that. That like personal development that some people never go through.
No, for sure. It's crazy. Yeah. Like some people are just, I mean, whatever you like, right? But some people are just like happy, just like living and like staying the same, I guess, or like not progressing too much. I'm just like, no, growth. Like I want to change. I want to learn. Like I want to be better.
It's never too late.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. That's the thing. It is. It's never too late. Like you can always grow and change.
And like reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
Like going from I'm now working with like WRG and doing photography and video and helping them with all of this stuff. Like I was in sales for like 8 years. It's like, but I love what I'm doing now, you know?
Yeah.
And like I could I've seen myself here like 3-4 years ago. I don't know.
Probably not. You were like another person, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Cause like sales and then you're going into something creative. Like that's huge, but it's so possible, you know?
Yeah. Which is like, but it just shows like the possibilities, you know. Some people still stay in their work for.
Well, that's it, and I think that's like having like that mindset and like being healthy and like taking care of yourself like allows you to see those things and gives you the motivation to be like, oh yeah, like I can do anything. Like we have access to so much, and like we don't realize that even like, you know, like breath work, like all these things, and make you realize like, okay, I can do whatever I want and like be whoever I want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you're a great like spokesperson, I guess, for that. You know, and you have a good platform to do it, you know, running Alice Cast.
Yeah.
And like, have you so there's a lot of personal development happening with you, but have you seen changes in the way you treat your business, in the way you do business, in the audience that you're attracting?
Yeah, so I do this thing. I started actually this project called the Self Love Project with WRG. Like we did it for International Women's Day a couple of like 2 years ago, and it was this video that kind of like shed light on self love and the way that female masturbation is stigmatized still to this day, and how like that's part of like taking care of yourself. And we kind of did like this play on like fitness and self-love, and it's basically a video of this girl that she's working out, but it looks like you're like, is she having sex, is she masturbating, you know, like there's that moment of like, what is happening here? And then it's like, no, like take care of yourself. Like International Women's Day is about like just being empowered, and it just makes you think, you know. So that's kind of how it started, and then it sort of spawned this series of articles where I touch on all these different topics that relate to self-love. So I did one about doing things, the value of doing things alone as a woman, and then other ones that are the value of like nutrition, like the way eating, like how if you take pleasure in your food, you actually absorb more nutrients. Like there was an article all about that, like how like our relationship to food, and then there was an article about fitness. So there are like different ways that I sort of explore that and share it on my on like the Alice Cast blog, and then I share a lot on Instagram. Like that's my main means of communication. So I do have a lot of and then it's amazing because I made it like, for me, like, you know, lingerie is a lot of the times this like world that like I personally like never found very accessible. Like I thought, you know, it's always like this femme fatale or this like bombshell woman that's like fully put together in the advertisements, and like as a normal woman that does like a bunch of different things, you're like, oh, like that's not me, like that's not real. And you kind of feel like, okay, that's for another type of woman, you know. So for me, the goal was always to be a bit more real about it, and like it is something that it is really empowering. And like when you find yourself beautiful, and when you see yourself in that way, like there's so much power in that, you know, and that gives you confidence, and that makes you go out into the world and be able to get the things that you want and like feel like you deserve. So for me, I always wanted to show that real side of the way to relate to yourself, especially as like a woman, and feel like sexually empowered. And so I try to be as like raw and like real and vulnerable as possible, and like take away that shame that we have associated to our bodies. And and like that feeling of not being good enough or not being beautiful enough, or like every woman like can have access to that. So with the articles, I try to kind of touch on these topics and like put as much out there as I can in terms of like my experience and like my struggles or my story, to kind of show people like, you know, you can get over that, and like those are actually the experiences that are valuable and help you grow. And I've gotten such good feedback from that. You know, like I don't want to just be like a cool brand that's like, oh, like yeah, you have to look like this, and here's the lingerie, whatever. Like for me, it's like I was never that girl. You know, people see me and like I post like selfies and lingerie and whatever. I don't care now, but like I used to be super shy. Like I used to be super not, like I used to be super like ashamed of like sexuality and all that stuff. Like I never like felt comfortable in that. And now, and like my business actually helped me, you know, like get to where I am now, and I still have so much to learn, but I want to like share that with people and show them that like you're not just born that way. Like you have to, like you can like make those changes for yourself. And I think those articles and like being vulnerable and being open and sharing like the spiritual or self-development journey has been huge. Like people write to me constantly whenever I share those stories. Like I get such good feedback. People are always writing to me, and like I have end up having like amazing conversations with all these women that are like, thank you for sharing that, like I had no idea, and like it inspired me to do this, and they end up sharing their own stories and feeling empowered by it. So yeah, it's definitely all related, and it's huge. It's amazing, really.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's like, you know, because I was looking at your blog and reading some of this stuff. It's you know, you read it and you're like you know, you're putting yourself out there, like
yeah,
to the world. It's like, it's crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know how many people actually read it. You know, like maybe there's like five people, but I mean, if it helps five people, I feel like I'm like super happy to be able to. You know, like I know that when I read stuff of other people showing their story and sharing that, and I can relate, that like gives me permission, you know, to be more myself. Like I think that the ultimate goal in life is just to be your most authentic self, right? Because then when you're happy with yourself and you're yourself, everyone benefits, you know, mm-hmm. and then you're able to go out there and, you know, fulfill your mission or like help people or just by being yourself, you know? So yeah, I think that, I mean, it's not easy. Like sometimes it's scary, but I think it's totally worth it, and it's part of the process.
Just, I'm sure it's therapeutic for you as well.
Oh, for sure. You know? I mean, yeah. And I write either way, and I'll always like, you know, I journal a lot, and I have a friend also that we don't like text each other. We like send emails. So, and she travels a lot. And so we have like these email threads where I get a lot of my inspiration actually for my articles because it's good because I find you don't, even the way we communicate with people is so surface now with text messages. It's so instant. And we kind of lost that like sense of like actually taking the time to tell stories and like share things and actually communicate in the way that I guess we used to when we had to write letters to each other. So we're trying to like bring that back a little bit, and it's been great.
I thought that's where you were going to go with it. You guys were pen pals or something.
Kind of. We are kind of. Like through email.
Email's the modern pen pal. Yeah. We should start that.
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, you want to go play volleyball like in a month?
Well, that's the thing. I feel like for text messages, it's more like the short stuff, planning like that. But like when you get into like long form writing, that's where you get like the interesting, juicy stuff, you know?
Yeah. And it's stuff that's happening now, but then they get in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty funny. But yeah, I definitely feel like I see parallels in what you're saying with your business and like how I treat running sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like you just gotta be yourself?
Yeah,
You gotta show like, you know. I've done some events that people like would love to do, you know, and they think that I'm different, or they might look at me differently because I've done those things. But I'm just the same as them, you know. Like, just because you're behind the brand of your business doesn't mean that you can't relate to whoever you're with, and that's like super important.
Well, everyone has their journey, right? It's okay. And you know, when I think that's the thing with Instagram and all those things, you see things like at face value, you're like, oh, that person's just like that. Like you don't see the story behind it, and you present like your highlights, right? And like everyone has like the behind the scenes, and I think that's the important stuff to share, to give people inspiration and show them that like anyone can do it. Like you can, like everyone has a struggle or a story, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And
oh my gosh, so much stuff. Like immediately?
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm going to Burning Man on Friday for the first time, which is exciting and scary. I'm also in the midst of designing my first, because right now the website is curated brands. So it's different brands that we import and then resell. And now we're actually working on our own line. So it's the first time I'm actually designing and producing everything. So that's super, super exciting. And we've already started selling our stuff, like a soft launch, and like the reaction is insane. So it's such like a good feeling. Like people really love it. Like we're doing swimwear, and that's like a really nice feeling. So we're working on that. I'm probably gonna have to start a Kickstarter for it, but
why not?
That's another project we have. And then yeah, just continuing and doing that. I feel like Burning Man's on my mind now, so I can't think about anything else.
When's that? When's that?
So I leave Friday, but it starts Sunday, so it's Sunday to Sunday.
Okay.
In the desert. Nice. With nothing except for a bunch of people.
Sounds like it's right up your alley.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be perfect. There's like, it's just such a great, I think it's a community, right? It's like people coming together, and you have to like kind of rely on yourself and them, because you have to bring everything and all your food, all your supplies, and people create this amazing art and music. And it's funny because it's a funny thing that we have to do this, you know, and like how much people are attracted to things like this kind of just shows how like we don't have these types of like community and sharing and like values in our everyday, that we like crave it so much. Like we have to literally go out into the desert where there's nothing, in extreme like living conditions, to be able to feel life and to be able to connect with other people. Like it's cool, but it's almost sad that we don't have that, you know, like in our everyday life. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I was reading a criticism of Burning Man and how it's primarily like white middle class people, and it kind of made me realize like it makes sense, because I feel like random white people don't have that sense of culture or community within like everyday society. I feel like other cultures kind of like value community more, which is like something I've always been super jealous of. That's like, you know, a random white girl. Like I'm like, oh, like all these like Italians, like anyone that has like this community of people where they can like, you know, like have this sense of belonging. Whereas right. like I kind of feel like I'm like a mixed white person, but like I don't have like a community. I don't, like my dad's Greek, right? But like I don't have any attachment to the Greek community. He doesn't either. And like my mom is like Quebecer, and like I don't really feel very French Canadian. I'm like, I'm so English, you know, so I don't have any like attachment to that culture either very much. So I think that there's something to say about that feeling. And I guess that's what's cool about running, because you feel like that like brings people together. Yeah. And like you have that sense of like bonding, which yeah, I think we need things like that. You know,
I was gonna say you're part of the run community.
Yeah, so. But see, it's something I never even realized, because like I tend to run alone a lot now.
You prefer that?
I think it's just easier. Like I just like pick up, and whenever I feel like it. Like I don't have a set schedule, so for me it's kind of like, okay, need to run, let's go. Like gotta do this, you know. So it's more spontaneous, as opposed to like I try to do it like consistently, but there's no set time that I go out.
Anytime you want to go, you just kind of head out there.
Yeah, if I have like an hour, I'm like, okay, cool, let's do this.
Nice.
Yeah,
we're trying to bring together the run community, but a bit
more recently, no, that would be.
Which is really, it's a lot of fun to do like more run events and like trying to pick up the WRT.
The events are fun. And
speaker series, kind of like in the same line as what we're doing with the podcast, to have people, like when I first started, I was inspired by people. So I want to, and that kind of has slowed down a little bit, but I want to expose other runners to inspiring runners. There's a lot of runners in there, but or just like, because everyone starts somewhere. I think that's like the coolest thing, and everyone's got different reasons for it. Like you haven't ran a race, but just to say like you can run every day and not have to like train for a marathon or half marathon.
I think that's what's intimidating about it. Before you start running, you're kind of like, oh, I'm not a runner. Like, I don't fit the profile, you know? And I think this is amazing what you're doing, that you're exposing like different types of runners. And like, I have a lot of women from like my Instagram following, they'll write to me and they want to run, but and they'll be like, oh, what do you do? Like, how do you stay healthy? Like, what's your exercise? And I like tell them, or I'll share about running, and they're scared. Like, it's intimidating the first time if you're not a runner to go out with a group. You know, you think that everyone's serious and everyone's running for marathons and this and that, but there's so many different types of runners and levels, and even if you want to run for like 1 kilometer, like that's still something, and if it does something for you, like that's amazing, you know? Like, you don't have to have an end goal, or I think it's cool that you're kind of going to be touching on all different types of running. And even for me, I was like, I never even identified as a runner. I was like, you want to interview me? Okay. Like, am I a runner? Like, my sister's like, yeah, you're a runner. You run like 5 times a week. What are you talking about? And I'm like, okay, I guess. But like, I don't compete or whatever, you know, like I don't do those things. So I kind of, so it's funny that you actually brought that up. Cause I was like, yeah, actually, yeah, I totally relate to that.
Like, and it's funny how people will say that.
Yeah.
Like, when I like first getting into, I even said it, like getting into triathlon, I'm like, I'm not a triathlete.
Yeah.
It's like, well, are you swimming, biking, and running for training? I'm like, yeah, well.
Yeah, there
you go.
You're
a triathlete. You
know? I know. And we have this weird, like, imposter syndrome, like, about everything. Like nothing's enough. Like, nothing's good enough. We're not legit enough. We're not hardcore enough, you know? And I think we have to stop thinking that way and just be like, okay, whatever I, like, you don't have to name yourself or identify as anything, but you could kind of give yourself credit for doing the things that you do. Like, just because you're not a professional athlete doesn't take away from the work that you do and the energy you put in it and the value you get from it.
And I think, and also, like, there's a lot of value in running, you know, alone for sure. It's harder to do, like, because you need the discipline to go out and do it. But I'm always trying to like bring new people in and encouraging them, and just say like, hey, we all put our shoes on and we all go for a run. Whenever I ask somebody if they want to go for a run, it's like, oh no, I can't. You're faster than me. Blah blah blah. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not about speed. If I'm like, want to go for a run with you, it's because I want to run with you.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to
take off.
I feel like I said that to you the other day, actually.
You did. I'm calling
like,
you
no, you're, are you talking about me? I was like, no, you're like a serious runner, you know?
But it happens with not just you.
No, for sure.
Everyone.
And people do that with me. They're like, no, but you're a serious runner. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, come running.
Yeah.
For sure. We're always comparing ourselves and we always feel not good enough. And that's part of the work that I'm trying to do with my business, you know, is no, we're good enough. Like, you're good enough to wear that. Like, you're good enough to feel good about yourself, or to run, or to do this, or to be around other people who are like maybe more advanced than you. It's like, we have to stop comparing ourselves, you know. It's the hardest thing because we live in this world of comparison constantly. But it's what's the expression? Comparison is the thief of happiness.
Oh, I never heard that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. And it's so true. It's like, you could be super happy 1 second and be like, oh, I'm so proud of myself, I did this. And then you see someone else like who is younger and more successful than you, who did the same thing like 5 years ago or whatever, who has something better than you now. And you're like, shit, I suck, you know? And that's like the worst. Like, we need to stop. Everyone has their own journey and their own process. And you have to, like, you know, be happy for that person and be happy for yourself. Yeah, that's the goal.
and we go on these runs and everyone has fun.
Yeah.
At the end of it, like, they might start out timid and shy, you know, like, I've said it before, but I look at my sister, like, she came to run club like 2 years ago and she was all like quiet and like, that's how she's always been, you know, but like a year later, we're like looking at her. She's improved. She's socializing with other people. Like, she's more of like a stay at home type, you know, very quiet, but you know, that just like what it does for your soul, it
changes you.
Yeah. And like your confidence.
Yes.
And, you know, all
that's the number one thing, I think, from running and from, cause it changes, it shifts so much inside you and even like your body, the way you feel mentally, everything. Anytime you do anything that's good for you, that increase in confidence is like invaluable, you know?
For sure.
It's cool.
I saw like the demographic that you probably pick up is like 25 to 35? Mm-hmm. Like, do you have like a, do you have any like younger people than that? Like, what's
definitely on Instagram, I can check my like
The age range.
Yeah, the age range. And there are like the main percentage is 25 to 35. I think like 60-70% women.
Yeah.
And then there's like a good amount of guys that follow, and it and then there are younger, there are like the 20, like 18 to 25 age range as well, but like not as many. I think my content is a bit and the price point and stuff, I think too, and the, it's a bit like older, but yeah.
I'm just asking that because I think, just thinking out loud, like I feel like that's a really important demographic. Meant like, I don't know, like growing up is tough.
Yeah.
You know, if you look back, even for guys, I mean, guys and girls, you know, at that age, you don't know who the heck you are.
Although I find a lot of the younger kids have like stronger senses of identity now. Then it's weird. I feel like we grew up in this like in between like technology phase stage. And the kids today, like, I mean, there is a lot of bullying and a lot of that stuff, but there's also like this sense of like diversity that I see on Instagram. Maybe it's the accounts that I follow, but a lot of the girls that are like the popular Instagram, like younger, like Instagram famous girls, there's a lot more diversity, like girls that look different body types, different, and they're so themselves, you know, they're so fully themselves, and that's really encouraging. And they're a lot more open in terms of like gender issues and things like that. So as much as a lot of people are like, oh, we're so worried about the younger generations, and it is hard because you're constantly, they grew up in the world where they're constantly comparing themselves, and it's like this constant need for validation and like comparison and all that. But I think there's also something really interesting going on with all these like body positivity movements and like feminist, like, you know, the Me Too movement, like the awareness that is coming up because of social media and because of like the fact that we're constantly communicating about this stuff. I think it goes both ways. Like it's as positive as it is negative. And for sure, like I can contribute to that and you know, try to inspire those girls, but I feel like a lot of people are doing it, which is really cool right now. Like it's like an exciting time to like even be a woman, you know, with all these changes coming up. Like there's still so much work to be done, but I think a lot of people are taking making an effort to like make that change happen.
Right, that's so cool. Yeah. Awesome. Is there like a message like that you have for the younger like generation? Or
oh my gosh, the younger generation.
Like,
I mean,
if you could see the 18-year-old you, you know, like
the 18, I would just.
What would you tell her?
Oh my God, just be yourself. Like, just like, don't worry about it. I think it's just like the worry, you know, it's like the constant. Like, I was like, I always had like a lot of anxiety, I think, and just like this fear and like this lack of trust in the universe. I think that that's really like one of the biggest shifts is that, you know, like something like potentially like bad happened, like, 2 days ago, like I got an answer for something that wasn't like good for something in my business, and like I know that before the way that I would have reacted would have been like, oh my God, why is this happening, and it would have been really negative. And then my first reaction was like, okay, like this is probably for the best, and I'm gonna and like I have faith that something better is coming along, and I'm gonna have a solution, and I'm gonna figure it out, you know, like that trust is like huge. I never had that before, and I think people who like maybe grew up more spiritual or in a religious environment have this idea of faith that's stronger. I think I was always kind of like, fuck religion, like being really like an atheist kind of, and like not spiritual and not, you know, not into that stuff. That it was like I learned that later on in my life to have that feeling of like trust in the universe. And I would have told my 18-year-old self, like, don't worry about it, just like do your best, you know, and like don't be so hard on yourself. I think that's the number one thing. We're so critical of ourselves. Like, you would never speak to anyone else the way that you speak to yourself. Like, most people are just so mean to themselves, you know, and like finding that voice of compassion and kindness is like the number one. Like, I'd be like, stop, like take your time, like nurture yourself, like be like the parent you wish you had, like be your own friend, like take care of yourself and be kind. And like that like changed everything for me, like just catching myself in those moments and being like, okay, you did good, like try again, like you just mistakes make you grow. Like, it's fine. And stop like putting myself down so much for the things that I wasn't like perfect at. Because I think we have this idea that we have to be perfect, you know, and we have to be a certain way to be loved or to be valued. And that's the worst, because right. It's not true.
Yeah. When I learned about your business and like you guys were telling me about like the marketing,
mm-hmm.
that it's put towards men, like I was like,
well, yeah, like all the Victoria's Secret stuff is very, even generally, even the like luxury brands, it's like the way that a woman should look to please a man, kind of, because yeah. It's a lot of the time it's the man that's paying or buying it, you know. And I have like male customers and they're amazing. Like the guys that are attracted to what I'm doing, they're just like, they'll write me notes. They're like, oh my God, like, thank you so much. Like, my girlfriend is so confident in your stuff. Like, I love what you're doing for women, you know, like to hear that from guys, which was not the goal, but to like attract that type of man that like appreciates that and like gets it, or just to even educate men that aren't aware of it, that, you know, like you were like, what, I didn't know about this,
and they got me.
Yeah, you know.
I was shocked. I always thought it was put towards the women.
I think traditionally, I mean, now it's very much about the woman, and I mm-hmm. think it's becoming more. I mean, when I started, like, it was still all about like push-up bras and like these uncomfortable like not necessarily like wearable styles. And it's shifted a lot. Like, the whole industry is very much now, it's all about like bralettes, like things without padding, without wire, it's not about like pushing your boobs up to your face. You know, it's like, there's like, comfort is super important, but also like just, you're like taking pleasure in it, you know? So, yeah, it's definitely a huge shift, which is really cool, I think. And
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's it for me. I mean, yeah, I really, really like loved having you on today.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Gave a little bit.
Didn't know what direction it was going to go into. But
yeah, I mean, definitely, it's like a run podcast, so yeah. We want to touch on that. But I think it's definitely brought you a long way, and really appreciate you coming in today.
Thanks.
Just want to give you an opportunity. Like, where can people hear more about you?
Instagram definitely is the number one. So it's at Alice Cass Lingerie. Yeah, that's, and then the website is alicecass.com.
Facebook?
I have a Facebook and it's Alice Cass Online, but I really don't use it. I don't know, Facebook just doesn't resonate with me.
It's not working anymore.
No, I just don't care for it. I'm never on Facebook. I always forget about it. I should be using it. I should be saying this. I should be doing Facebook and Instagram ads, but I just stopped. I tried doing that. I hate it.
You need to know about our run events that we're
doing.
Yeah,
I guess so. Is that, oh, right. You guys don't use Instagram that much.
We do a little bit, but yeah. For the event purpose, we're
doing
it. It's
true. Events, I do use Facebook. That's true.
Facebook's quite effective. Hmm. But thanks, thanks for coming on today. Really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of La Rundown. Please make sure to visit us at iamarunner.ca. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at WRGRuns. And let us know what you think using hashtag La Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Now take what you've learned and run with it.